face, I know you are.
Look, laws of kashrus. Rabbi Binyamin Force. Yeah, it belongs to Moresh HaKol. Although we use this as an appropriate text to discuss some of the issues of today's shiur, which is primarily about milchus and fleishiks, and how we deal with them. We spoke last time about various restrictions. Wait, you should wait 6 hours. You should make sure that if you're eating milk and meat together, there should be separate tablecloths or things of this nature. But we haven't never really got to the meat of the matter, the heart sugis that we sort of postponed. I learned with the Hamidim last year and the other day, I said he started with these sort. We got to the real tough stuff, which we'll discuss right now. That's today's topic. So there are a number of major issues which you have to deal with in the kitchen, and the two most important have to do with the oven and with the sink. That seems to be obvious. So of course, if you're a griller, you have two ovens, you have two sinks, and Shalom Yisrael, there's nothing to talk about. It's fine and dandy. Not everyone, especially young couples, are chassanim, who started this whole shiur. I don't think they're going to have two ovens and two sinks. I don't know if you want to say to that.
No counter.
No, okay, I still don't. But anyway, so what's the scoop? You have one oven and one sink. Well, how do you manage? So there is a tremendous machlokas with respect to both of these things, and we'll start discussing some of the opinions in this matter. Let's start with an oven first. So when it comes to an oven, there are some obvious issues. If you have a fleishiks and milchus in the same oven, you're afraid of taste spreading from one to the other. You'll say, what do you mean? I do the fleishiks now, and I do the milchus an hour later. Well, yeah, but we have a concept called blia, absorption of taste. And the fear is, some of the meat taste absorbed into the oven, and when you cook the milchus an hour later, so the taste is going to come out and render the second food non-kosher, basa b'chalav. That's the question. So there are numerous opinions in this matter, and let's just start from the beginning. There were those who claim that indeed, when anything is in any meat item cooked in an oven renders the oven, in effect, fleishik, and that's it. You can no longer cook milchus inside the oven forever. You'll tell me, why don't you just kasher it? You know, you can kasher an oven, let's see, especially self-clean, put it to the highest, for sure works. Even a regular oven probably works if you put it to the highest. Our custom is not to kasher from fleishiks to milchiks for fear of confusion. It's obvious. Am I here? Am I there? Where am I holding? So that's why we don't do that. The Mogen Avraham quotes it along from hundreds of years ago. So that's not an option, really. Okay? That's one opinion. Another opinion says, the other extreme, there's no basis for this. It's true that there's a Din Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tzadi Beis, based on the Mishnah Machshirin of all things, which talks about a situation of a pot which has, we'll say chicken soup. You know, you see the pot full of chicken soup, woo, on Friday night, pot of chicken soup. Right on top of that pot, you put a milchik in a pan. Oy, 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 gewalt. That is treif. They say that's a case which is called, in our language, hevel. Hevel means really thick steam. Because absolutely, if you have the all that thick steam trapped in the chicken soup and being held in by the milchik pan, hey, that's going to render that milchik pan treif because it's going to absorb some of that taste from the chicken soup. That's out. However, an oven has nothing to do with that. An oven? not even close. What's an oven? An oven, gentlemen, you ever see an oven which has a window in it? Many ovens have, who has an oven with a window in the house? You ever look in when you're cooking something in there? You ever see it full of steam? Nah. For a whole variety of reasons. First of all, it's big. Secondly, almost all the ovens are vented, so the steam just goes out and diffuse, dissipates. Not that much. That's not even close to the hevel of the case of the original Din in Shulchan Aruch. We have a pot full of chicken soup which is trapped by the by the milch of Japan on top. So therefore, according to this opinion, it's never a problem. Just don't do it at the same time. Fleishiks, milchiks, milchiks, fleishiks. No problem whatsoever. It's the other extreme.
Because it's inside the oven?
Sorry?
Because it's inside the oven?
Yeah, it doesn't get absorbed. Because it's only absorption when there's pressurized steam, not when there's unpressurized vapor. Just translating the word hevel and the word zeya, respectively. Yeah.
So why can't you cook them together at the same time as long as they're not the same?
Okay, that's not tefasta meruba lo tefasta. Don't be a chaza. Chaza, bad word to use in context of this kind of shiur. But don't ask me for too much. Let's leave it the way it is. This is the biggest cool you'll find. Okay. The in-between, yeah. Yeah, I believe that even though those who follow a more lenient view, which we'll see soon, and in between you, should wait until the first type, meat or milk, cools down, the smell dissipates. You don't want to cook milchiks when it's smelling of flesh, because when it's hot, that's not a good idea. Okay, fine. The in-between view is attributed to Moshe Feinstein, it's in his Sefer Igros Moshe, where he says that if it's something which is does not really produce significant steam, we could be lenient, as opposed to the first opinion, which is strict no matter what. Generally, if we don't know differently, liquids produce steam, and solids don't. If it's a liquid, you want to cook it in an oven and then do the opposite, you have to cover it. So according to Ramesh, if you have a liquid pot full of chicken soup and it's covered, and then you decide to put some kind of a milk product, some milk, you want to cook milk in the oven for whatever reason, and it's also covered, it's okay. Because since it's covered, there is not a significant amount of steam. Of course, something gets out. It's something, though. I'm talking out of some steam, you just can't see it. You know, they have hot air, you know, the expression. I'm 98.6, and here it's only, not that hot today, but it's 70, whatever it may be. So there's some kind of something. So that doesn't count. So therefore, if it's solid, generally speaking, there's no steam. If it's covered liquid, generally speaking, no steam. If it's uncovered liquid, forget about it. So therefore, if you have uncovered liquid fleishiks and uncovered liquid milchiks at any given time, you have a tray for oven. I mean, not a tray, an oven that you cannot use for a liquid uncovered until you do something about it. That's from Moshe's in-between point of view. Everyone follow me? So therefore, I tell everybody, young couples, listen up. Make your oven fleishik. So you can use it with fleishik unrestricted. If you want to use it for milchik, then if it is uncovered liquid, you may not. You simply may not. You have to cover it. Or you use it. Sorry. If, however, it is solid, then according to this will be permissible. There's no steam. Now, in my career as observing the cook in my house, not me, I don't know how to cook anything, it's very rare to have an uncovered liquid, leave that uncovered. It's very rare to have a liquid milchik product in your oven. It's not that common. Some kind of lasagna, as I'm told, to start off a little bit liquidy, some kind of quiche, throwing out some Italian and French words. I don't know what they really mean exactly. To show that I'm cultured. Yeah. Anyway, so once my wife wanted to do this, I said, you know, can't do it. So she covered it with tinfoil. And then she waited for an hour, and then she picked in and said, oh, it's already solidified. And now she can uncover it to brown it on top. See what a memory I have? Yeah.
Sometimes I know personally, let's say, I have made lasagna, and what happens is it's actually, you seal the top, but a little bit of liquid, it steams out, and then it recondenses and drips to the bottom.
Oh, now you're really in trouble. I'm discussing situations without drip. Once things drip, then it's a problem, because dripping by definition is a liquid coming from one, coming from the other. If it drips from the top and drips to the bottom, and drips, fleishik drips and milchik drips, and they both drip, then you have a bit of a problem. But, you know, hopefully you do a good job and you don't drip too much. I have to tell you, this issue of drip can exist, forget about the oven, the stovetop itself. You have a typical old-fashioned, I hope you have old-fashioned stoves, guys, which have those spider-like grates on top, and pots on top. So what if you put a fleishik pot? Oy, it spills. Spills happen, I'm telling you. About, even if you're a good housewife. I'm sure the kalas are gewaldic. But it even happens to the best of them. And it spills over. And then later on, some milk spills over. It's nothing. It's mutter. We don't try to spill, but if it happens, it's mutter. Why is it mutter? Because whatever came down goes right to the bottom. It's just nothing gathers. It's a thin little grain. Nothing can't hold anything. Goes right to the bottom until the fire burns up. So that those little spider-like grates don't absorb anything. Things go right in. It is true. You probably learned in Hilchos Pesach. Chatzuva tzricha libun. These they call it a tripod, dreifus. That's exactly it. It's kind of spider grate. Should be kasher for Pesach. Look at the small. That's around. Shogun. Look at the small. The Mishnah Berurah. Chumra bialma. Why chumra bialma? Is a general rule. Ein balua yotze mikli lekli below rotev. Something which is absorbed does not go out from one kli to another without rotev. And the Chavis Da says it means it's a puddle. It doesn't just mean a drop. So therefore, there's room to believe you don't have to have separate grates for flesh, because it looks like some people do. Not required. And even as far as the ovens are concerned, things just go right down and get burned up because it's very hot in the bottom. It gets psh, it burns up. That's what we rely upon for those who have one oven. Yes.
Even if there is steam, why is the bottle?
Why should it be bottle?
It's more than shishin.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's a problem. Yeah.
What about cake batter with milk?
Cake batter, in my opinion. A cake batter, it should be, from this perspective, is considered to be in the category of solid. It's sort of in between. It does pour a little bit. You don't see steam coming out of it. This is from experience. I've seen these cakes baked in the oven. I don't see any steam.
Even if they bubble in half a little bit?
That's not significant. I find that insignificant. Now, there is one type of oven. Full of steam. What's that?
Microwave.
A microwave, for those who know science, works on steam. There's no fire. All it does is the waves, zzz, I don't know the science, zoom in on the liquid particles in the food, zzz, they get it to zzz, and somehow it gets hot. So there's tons of steam in a microwave. You ever see a microwave? Full of steam. Open microwave, that's a lot of steam. So that's the negative part of the microwave. But there's also a positive part of the microwave. What's that? There is steam, but there's no fire. They say when the smoke was fire? Not always. It could be a microwave. Okay? So there's no fire. In 1978, I was invited to address a rabbinical convention in Toronto. Remember, your Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, was a month old or something like that, and he came with us. My wife and I took a trip to Toronto, and it was paid for a trip for a couple of days. We went into Niagara Falls. We have some pictures, a little baby in Niagara Falls. So I remember what year it was. So I was invited. There's a new contraption called microwaves. And what kind of status does it have? So I spoke to Rabbi Bleich. Rabbi Bleich said, no good. Why? Because there's so much steam. And the steam is so hot, that's what you call, what's the magic term? Last time?
Zaya.
No, what's the magic term of hot? No?
Yeah,
so let us know. You put your hands in the steam, you know, it pulls back. I said, granted that the steam may be too hot to touch, but I believe that doesn't matter in and of itself. The roof of the microwave is not too hot to touch. Now, I invite you to do experiments when you get home in your microwave. You know, cook something in, open up, psh, and quickly put your hand on the roof. My experience is you can keep your hand on the roof indefinitely, because the roof itself does not get to be outside. My view is that in order for there to be absorption, there has to be heat of yatza lettuce oil variety, not just the steam, but the absorbing surface, in this case, the roof of the microwave as well. And you don't have it. Many years later, we were learning Yoredeya, just in Yeshiva last year, and I saw the machlokes, Rabbi Bleich and myself, goes back already 100 years to other rabbonim who were writing different svarim. I still think I'm right. He still thinks he's right. And if you think he's right, don't you ever use a microwave for milchiks and fleshiks. I generally say, if you have a microwave, why don't you follow the instruction manual? There's a manual. You can buy it. Open it up. Pray in a loop in your life. It says, cover all food. You look, you'll see. For their purposes, it should be cleaner. Shouldn't get stuffed up. So you don't have to cover it with a hermetic seal. Put a paper towel. The paper towel absorbs almost all the steam. Because you understand, there's no fire there. So you put a paper towel on top of the flesh, on top of the milk. See, here's the problem. Here, even if you're using solids, it's going to be steamed. But Moshe's rule applies to a regular oven. But a microwave, because even if it's a piece of chicken, a kugel, because the microwaves get into the liquid of that, and so the steam, no matter what you're doing, even if it's going to be kavachomer liquid. Okay, so that's the nekuda. You should try to cover it. That's my view on microwaves. Okay? Any other questions about stoves? I see a lot of questions. Some of you have the eyes behind my head. What's your question?
So, in a stove, are you able to cook something milk and something fish at the same time?
No. No, I'm against it. Yes, but I already... I'm not... Too chancy, too if.
So even if it is liquid...
I'm against it. Against it. Yeah.
Have you able to make it, you don't need a chorizo?
Microwave? Probably not. Now, of course, there is an issue of spillage and drippage again. I'm talking about a clean microwave. So if you have to make sure it's clean between every issues. Yeah?
Is it about like double covering in the microwave?
Yeah, if you double cover, that's even better because a single cover can break. If a double cover, so hopefully it's like a football. You have double coverage. See, somebody will stop from catching the ball. Usually, that doesn't always work either for the good guys, you know.
You only have to do that with one of them, right?
If it's yeah, one, okay, good, fine. Yeah.
So also, like, it's not like these plastic covers. So
microwaves.
Yeah.
That should be good. Right. Should explode. Yeah. No, it's not a joke. Yeah, yeah.
And also, is there anything wrong with cooking milchik and fleishik on like opposite ends of like the stove on top?
We are lenient to have two things on the top at the same time. You should make sure that one doesn't splash to the other. If it does, then you're in trouble. If you have a splash from the fleishik pot to the milchik pot, they're all cooking. Right. Cordial burn and boil bubble, right? That's my little Shakespearean remember. The kids, if it's all bubbling and it's flesh goes to milk, you have a serious problem.
It's not bubble either?
Not necessarily. Right. Necessarily. A big splash. Yeah.
How long does one have
plus, even the food will be kosher, the pot will be trafe. Yeah, I'm sorry.
How long does one have to wait between cooking meat and dairy and
milk? You don't sweat at all. I've seen that before. It cools down. It's no smell, no heat. That's it. Okay. Some of this 24-hour business. That 24 hours is a very important rule. It's called Nos and Tal Nefgam. If I have a absolutely tray for pots, the tray for was cooked in a pig, as tray can be, but it's clean as a whistle, and it hasn't been used cooked for 24 hours, and I cook a kosher chicken, the chicken is kosher. How can it be? I cooked pig. The answer is called Nos and Tal Nefgam. Whatever taste comes in is considered negative. So post facto, after it happened, you're not supposed to use a lechatchila, you're supposed to kasher it. After it happened already, if it's not a ben yomo, it's more than 24 hours past. So we assume it's any taste is negative, and therefore the product is kosher. All right? Yeah. I think you should wait till it's room temperature. Because even if it's other than that, it's already still steaming a little bit, and the smell. And I think you should wait till it cools down. Don't take that long. Yes?
You should still kosher pots that are nosing tal nefgam?
Absolutely. You're required to. If you have a pot, which is, it's called a gzeira eina ben yomo oto ben yomo. Afraid if you'll leave it for 2 days and use it, next thing you know, you'll leave it for 2 hours and use it. That'll be trick. Yes?
Why does Rabbi Kiva mentioning smell? What is that? Why is that significant?
It's a good question. He's a Talmud Chacham. It says, reich alav milsa. As they did in the Gemara Pesachim. But nonetheless, the Rif says when it comes to flesh and milk, it's a kind of yesh lamatirin. But what about recha too? So if we should try to avoid it. Okay, good. This is the discussion of stoves, microwaves, major problem. But we can get over it the way I just told you. Now, next major problem is sinks. All right, you have two sinks or one sink, my friend. What's the matter?
So is someone able to kosher a microwave? Or?
It's another good question. I believe a microwave can be kashered. Most microwaves, it's either plastic or metal on the outside. And these are surfaces which can be kashered. Only it's for Pesach, you try not to kasher plastic. So I say put your microwave away for Pesach. Remember, out of this 8 is a Pesach, you can't use it for 5 of them. Right? Shabbos and 4 days Yontif is 5. You only have 3 days. A little bit Zechel, they Zechel in Mitzrayim, they didn't have microwaves then either. You can do without it for 1 week. My opinion.
Okay.
For the, you mean stamp kacha?
Yeah.
You take a styrofoam cup, a big fat styrofoam cup, those biggies, fill it up with water, put the thing to end, you know, press the button, steam comes up, then Okay, after it's as much as leave it for half an hour, as much as it seems, then move the cup to another pot, fill it up with water again, and let's do it a second time. The reason is, number one, you want to do it twice. Number two, the pot that this cup is sitting on doesn't get kosher because the cup is in the way. So that's how you should do it.
What is it accomplished?
Whatever bleah was there comes out. How do you kosher a regular oven? So if it's a self-clean, it's a piece of cake. It's 900 degrees. Boom. It's a regular oven, which you've been moving into an oven with a pot, but it was an oven of strafe. So yeah, according to my Rebbe, and I think we have a right to follow that, you just put up to the highest. Not only for Pesach, which he passed, but even for... I asked this question myself. I almost never asked the Rebbe any questions, but when I was a kid, I forgot how old I was. You can probably look it up somewhere in the archives. I was asked by the SOY. You know what that means? Still around, yeah? To write a little article about kashrus, and they want to know what the Rav's opinion is. I had to ask him there's so many rumors, but the Rav said this. So I asked him, actually, Rebbe, what's the story with this kashrus in these ovens? I put it up to the highest. He said, good. He said, for Pesach or even for his tray? For both. I heard it from one of the few things that I had a one-on-one conversation. I asked him a question, he gave me an answer. So I recorded that in this bulletin. So if your oven will go up to 550, so since it only went in at 550, it was called kibolo kach polto. There were those who say Rav Moshe is against this. Rav Moshe's kibolo kach polto only works for liquids, bleah and plata. When it comes to ovens, it doesn't come out by plata. It comes out, you burn it out. The Rav says you burn a sorof of b'mkomo. That requires 700 degrees. I don't care if it went into 550. If you don't have 700 degrees, forget about it. That's what Moshe's psak. So what Moshe would do on Pesach, you have to buy an insert or have a self-cleaning oven. But this time, what the average person does on Pesach is not good according to Rav Moshe. Let's take a blowtorch. Don't you ever take a blowtorch in your hand. Sakonas nefashos. There was someone I knew from my community. Unfortunately, his wife passed away from a fire because kashering for Pesach with a blowtorch. That's right. It's no exaggeration. It's pikuach nefesh. Guys know what they're doing. They know what they're doing, hopefully. We hope. But for people, some who are not used to it, don't you dare use it. It's too dangerous. You call the crew, Chabad, come in, Al-Kashar, everything. Okay, that's good. But you should try it yourself. Yes?
So you turn it up to the maximum temperature and then eat it for some amount of time? Like, what is the...
Yeah, half an hour, some say an hour. It still burns everything out. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir?
How does the microwave become trafe?
Yeah, so it could have been contracted either by drippage, splashing. In other words, I said before that it's not going to get hot from the steam, but if it splashes and hot liquid goes boom into it, in that kind of case, perhaps it might get hot. You don't know. So play it safe. You move into a new house, you have a microwave, you're always kosher. Yes?
What about the surface on the bottom of the microwave?
That's even more important. Either replace it or clean it down very well.
Between every use? Or...
No, yeah, well, it should be clean whenever you use. Absolutely, it should be clean. Take a paper towel.
I'm saying if nothing like dripped onto it, but there's a container on top of it that was very hot that had milk in it.
Use your eyes. If it's clean, it's clean. If it's not, it's not. Yes?
The person kushers the oven by just making everything inside, all the taste inside the oven, pugum, by putting Ajax.
Yeah, there is a discussion of using Ajax, but the way I said it is the way I have to do it. Ajax works only in certain combinations, which we're not going to go into right now. Now the sink. So, if two sinks, it's great. If one sink, what do you do? Once again, disputes, unbelievable disputes. Some say, no way in the world you can have one sink. Impossible. Impossible. Can't be. Others say, no, you can have one sink. You have to have racks, separate racks for facial and for milk, some separate tubs, things of this nature. So, of course, halacha lemaisa, we should try to separate. But we can, and that's how why we grew up with different racks, blue racks and green racks, different colors, signifying milchiks and fleishiks, respectively. And that's the way one should do if you have one. Now, it's much better if your sink is what we call stainless steel. Stainless steel can be kashered, so no matter what they use it for before, you can kasher it. And so when you move in, you can kasher it. For Pesach, you can kasher it. How do you kasher it? In my opinion, the best way to kasher it is have to be dormant for 24 hours. And then, my recommendation is you turn that little drain, close it. Take pots, as we do every Pesach. Take big pots of boiling water, which are boiling on the oven, on the top of the range, and you pour it on. First you pour on the floor of the sink, and then you pour along the sides. And then what I try to do is, when it gets most of the way filled with these big pots, not all the way, I'll just turn on the tap, the hot water, to fill to the tippity-tippity top. That's how we kasher our sink every year. We have stainless steel. If you don't have stainless steel, it's made from porcelain, the old-time sinks. You can't do that. Porcelain is made from cheres. You can't have kasher cheres. So you're stuck. That's what we call a trefer sink. Okay, the trefer sink you have to manage with the racks, the milchigaf rack and the fleshig rack. Okay, fine. Yeah. Ooh, it's talking like a Talmud Chacham. Iwi Kli Rishon is a Mevashal or not. Ooh, what a Talmud Chacham. There were three opinions. Two brothers duked it out. Rabbi Natan and the Rashbam. If you want to fight with your brother, don't only fight like this. But Halach matters. Okay. Good. Rabbi Natan said Iwi is Kli Rishon. Rashbam says Kli Sheni. And Tosfos makes a compromise. That Iwi is only Mavliya, what we call Kedei Klipa. The Mekalei Bola, Kedei Klipa, Sugam Psachim. What's a clay klipa? The thickness of a peel. Well, a lot of kinds of peels. The thinnest possible peel. That's as far as it goes. Thinnest possible peel. I mean, I just imagine that. I can't even show it with my fingers. It's so thin, right? Just use your imagination. The thinnest possible peel, that's it. Oh, that's critical. That's what we pass on Halach and Shulchan Aruch. That only affects a peel. And that's relevant in Yoridea. It is true that there are poskim machmer that it's boleh b'kulo, and I believe we should be machmer nechol Shabbos. Like next week we're talking about nechol Shabbos in the kitchen. Next week, but in the other day where it's always a sort of a b'di'evin, a post facto shasatchak, we can rely upon the sheet that it only conveys taste to the thickness of the size of a very very thin peel, almost nothing. Good, assuming that, I'm going to send the Ramor rights. The Ramor rights. But if I have a hot fleshika pot overflows and spills onto a milchika pot, the pot is treif, has to be kashered, because it's an irui, and irui will affect at least the outer part of the pot, and you have to kasher it. Good. However, the same Ramah writes three simon later, it wasn't Sadi Beis, it wasn't Sadi Hay. What happened? I have water. And I pour water over greasy dishes of fleshiks, and the water lands in the milchika dishes. Says the Ramah, that's kosher. Now, how do you resolve this? The Shach says that the Ramah is absolutely incorrect. Incorrect. But the Ramah quotes from a very reliable source known as the Isur V'Heter. Says the Shach, very nice. Isur V'Heter holds like the Rashbam. The Rashbam holds that you use Kli Sheni. So of course it's going to come out that way. But we don't pass like the Rashbam. Therefore, the Ramah had no business quoting this Isur V'Heter. It's wrong. We don't pass in that way. If you're pouring hot water over greasy, fleshig dishes and the lands of the milchiks, you have a big problem of trefer utensils. Shain. That's what the Shach says. However, it's an expression, Uvenei Yisrael Yosef B'yad Ramah, that's the Ashkenazim at least. Sorry, Chaim. We follow the Ramah. Maran is quiet on this topic. I don't know what he holds. So we follow the Ramah. So since we follow the Ramah, we have to explain the Ramah. How do you explain it? It just makes us a contradiction. There's a major discussion. If all the big guns weigh in, the Prima Gadim, the Chavos Das, I have too much time, I'll give you Brukitz and Nimritz, what they say. The Chavos Das says that if there is an iwi of this sort, all it can do is create blia, absorption. So if hot chicken soup spills on a milchiga pot, it's no good. However, here, what's coming is water. Water. Water is neutral. What's the water have to do? Take the grease, or whatever is absorbed in the pot, maybe even the grease, and then somehow push it into the other utensil. That's called mavliya u'maflit kiyachot. That it cannot do. Mavliya maflit is like bishul. And bishul and bliya don't go together. So writes the Chavos Das. Somewhat difficult, according to the Pashup Shah, we hold that it does go together. That's why we pass in Mikir Adin. If there's absorption in Kli Sheni, doesn't count. Cliche in him Avashal and Shabbos, if I learned that. So too, there's no Bliya in the cliche in him Iker Adin. The Rashba argues. One day in Shulchan Aruch, the Kufay argues. There's no Bishul Lechud and Bliya Lechud. But Iker Adin, we don't pass in that way, so this Chavadas is difficult. The Prima Gadim has even a more amazing answer. He says, in one case, in Sadi Beis, you have the chicken soup overflowing while it's actually still on the fire. Right. Bubbles over. So while it's on the fire, it bubbles over, and it bangs into the other time, into Milchiks, that's disaster. In the case of the Ramo, by contrast, in Sadiheh, you picked up a kettle off the fire, it's no longer on the fire, and then you pour on the Fleishik dishes, they bang to the Milchik dishes, that's more lenient. Also difficult for a variety of reasons, not for now, it's against the Ramo elsewhere. The best answer is what I believe Rav Moshe has, Nigris Moshe. See, I told you, he's been quoted today twice. First on ovens, and we try to follow Rav Moshe on ovens, even though there's room to be a little bit more lenient and more strict. So by sinks, Rav Moshe is the following, I think I'm tweaking a little bit. The reason why it's going to be okay post facto is because it's almost inconceivable that the fleishika dishes, even if it's greasy, and the milchika dishes should be within a kadei klipa of each other. The only time, the classical case where iri causes problems is you pour boiling water over a chicken. You should tell the guys here in Yagilu over a chicken before you kashen it. Hope you don't do that. They used to do it to get rid of the feathers. You pour boiling water. If you do that, the chicken is treif because you can't salt it anymore. Because salting takes out the blood from the natural state of the chicken. But once you pour boiling water on the chicken, it transfers the blood from one spot to another. That could be from one, forgive the expression, from your bioregions, one capillary to another. They're microscopic almost. The capillary is so small, they're within a clip of one of each other. That's the problem. But dishes keep pretty close company, but not like two capillaries there within one another, and therefore there's more than a clip between one and the other. So you're pouring the hot water over the greasy fleshy dishes till the banks into the milchiks. More than a clay cleeper has been traversed, and therefore the milchik could remain milchik and not impacted post facto by the flesh, even if there's grease on it, even if water is pouring over it. That's Rav Moshe tweaked a little bit. Okay? So therefore, if you have one set of dishes, Rav Moshe writes, you really should have everything separate, but strictly speaking, if you really poured over, it wouldn't be such a big problem. And this is his psak. Yes?
Why does putting a rack solve any problems?
The rack solves some problems because you have a fleishik dishes in the rack. They won't touch the bottom. So the bottom will be treif. Who cares? Nothing touches the bottom. That's the pshat. But Moshe says even if they were both in the sink at the same time, it's not so bad in a pinch. We don't do that. We try to put fleishik dishes in the sink, wash them, and then put milky ones in the sink. But in case there was a mix-up, they always mix-ups. They look all the time. Oh, I will open my dishwasher and I found a milchika knife and a fleishika run. Never happened to you? All the time. So I say it's kosher based on this Rav Moshe. And besides, in the dishwasher, there's always going to be soap. No centam of gam. The soap makes all the taste negative. It's also a very important consideration. So having soap is also very important. These are some of the highlights. I want to give you 2 minutes of questions. It's almost time for Marav. Yeah.
Is there a difference for the stainless steel sinks between using a steamer and pouring boiling water over?
Steamer? You want to kasher with a steamer?
Yeah.
No, you should kasher with boiling water. I let kasher with a steamer, I use Pesach for the countertops. Because the countertops, if you ask me, don't really need to be kasher. No woman will listen to me. Because again, the same reason. Ein belua yotzi miklil klil arotev. So in my house, despite what I say, they're always covered. In your house, going to be the same thing, my dear friends. Whenever you make Pesach for yourself in 10 years, whenever it will be. But that's the way it is. The women are more strict. Baruch Hashem. As most women say, if I had to rely on you, no matter what your smicha, the kitchen would be treif. It's probably true. Yeah.
What are you saying about dishwashers? What does one do if you live in someone's house? Dishwasher?
Yes, you can kasher the dishwasher because it's made either from metal or from plastic. The old porcelain ones, Ramoshi tries to, he couldn't kasha, because it's cheris. But metal and plastic can be kasha. Although for Pesach, we don't kasha plastic, I said before. So we actually bought a metal one Hikmet kasha for Pesach, it's not worth it. The same reason, for 3 days, it's such a tumult, you may have to get new racks. Just live for 3 days at the dinner try. Yeah. You run it through a cycle. Run it through two cycles, well, without soap and with soap. And, the racks, if they're smooth, are kashered thereby. If they're cracked, you have to buy new ones because it's crevices. You can't kash them on crevices. Okay, gentlemen, it's time for Maariv. Prepare for Maariv. Next week, we'll talk about the kitchen and Shabbos, okay? If anyone wants to review some of these things, it's an excellent book. We're going to have a fourth Shlita. I'll leave it here for those who want to take a look.